People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions.
This is People of Note on Fine Music Radio. I'm Mike Mills, in for Rodney Trudgeon. My guest has been a previous person of note, but since has been awarded an honorary doctorate in art and design, has travelled the world, has graced some prestigious stages and events. He's also picked up either one or two more Grammy Awards, a total of 3 out of 5 nominations, 9 SAMAs, and all sorts of other things. So, pretty short notice, I have to say, of one of his sadly all too rare visits to Cape Town, we snagged him again. Because if there's a person, dear listener, of note, worthy of remaining and indeed enhancing his reputation to be a person of note again, it is Dr. Voter Kellerman. Greetings, sir.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. I feel very uncomfortable with the doctor.
All right. We'll drop that now. It is so good to see you. It's been far too long since we last met. But let's go back to the beginning, because there's always someone who's listening who hasn't heard of you before. Famous as you are, the Kellerman household in your childhood, filled with lots and lots of classical music and a little bit of Miriam McCabe.
That's right.
Naughty little flea. Tell us this story.
Yeah, there was only classical music in my house, but there was one Miriam McCabe album. And also, while my mom went off to work in the mornings, the lady who looked after me played only African music the whole morning. So even though I was brought up on classical music, the roots in African music started very early in my hearing scape. So I loved all that music from the start, and I basically grew up being classically trained. I started playing the flute when I was 10 years old. And
was that because you went to a concert?
Yeah.
Your dad took you to a concert?
Yeah, my parents took us to a symphony concert and asked us which instrument we'd like to play. And my brother chose the clarinet. And I liked the idea of using my breath, you know, like in singing or speaking, very natural. It just felt natural to choose that. And I chose the flute, and I'm so glad, because it's a really versatile instrument. It can play a beautiful classical sound. It can do something a bit more jazzy, or you can use extended techniques and do beatboxing on the flute. So I loved it from the first day.
Ah.
I absolutely loved it. And by the time I left school, I wanted to study music, but we didn't have money to send me to university. And so I had to study something I could get a bursary for, and that was engineering. So that's my second talent.
It's electrical engineering, isn't it?
Electrical engineering, yeah. Maths is my second talent. So my options for university personally would have been number 1, music, number 2, computer science, number 3, mathematics, number 4, engineering. But engineering was the most practical one, so I ended up studying that and still enjoying that, still playing the music flute every day while at university. And while I was at university, I won the music festival, talent festival, and I played as a soloist with the Johannesburg Symphony Orchestra, so I kept it on very seriously. But yeah, then after university, I had to work back for Anglo American, who offered me the bursary. And they posted me on the coal mines in Witbank at the time, and I didn't last very long there. You know, it's hardly the cultural mecca of South Africa. And so I moved back to Johannesburg and started my own software engineering company.
Ah.
And after a few years, decided, okay, now's my big chance to be a full-time musician. I moved across to music, and within 6 months, my money had run out. And I had young kids by then, and my wife and I split up, and I got custody over the kids. And it was just impractical. I couldn't tour as a musician because I had to be home. And basically, every few years I would try, but it never worked to be a musician full time. So I waited 20 years until my kids grew up. And suddenly when my daughter left university, my son left school, things became a whole lot cheaper. And finally, at the age of 44, I decided to give up my engineering company and become a full-time musician, which I'd been waiting for a long time for. And it's been a fantastic roller coaster ride since then.
Well, I want to pick up the story from that point shortly. But what's your first selection of music today?
The first one is Come Away With Me by Norah Jones. And when I released my first album, I was in love with her first album. And I actually fell asleep to her music every night. And then I thought, after I'd spent a few years on my first album, I thought, why don't I get my album mixed by the world's best engineer, which I thought was Husky Hoskels. He's an Icelandic engineer who mixed her album. So I took a big chance. I asked Johnny Clegg, my friend, and asked him, can you somehow put me in contact? And he put me in contact with his engineer, the British engineer, Chad Blake, who knew Husky. And I got his email address. I sent him the music. I posted him the CD as we had it then. And I just took a big chance and said, would you like to mix this? And I never thought I'd get a response, but he responded. He says, I love the music. I think it's already really well mixed, but I can have a go at it. And I flew over to LA and I mixed my first album with Norah Jones's engineer. And so this song, Come Away With Me, means a lot to me.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me, and I will write you a song. Come away with me. Come away where they can't tempt us with their eyes. And I want to walk with you on a cloudy day in fields where the yellow grass grows knee high. So won't you try? Come away with me and we'll kiss on a mountain top. Come away with me and I'll never stop loving you.
Norah Jones, Come Away With Me, here on Fine Music Radio. People of Note with Mike Mills and my very, very special guest, Vota Kellerman. Now, you brought us to the point where you released Colour, that first album.
Yeah.
And I want to take you back to a personal memory. So at Classic FM in Johannesburg, we had these monthly soirees where we had different performers playing.
Yeah.
And being the breakfast show host for many years, I cherry-picked which soirees I was going to host because the presenters would do a roster kind of thing. And I got in early, and somebody told me, there's this guy, Wouter Kellerman, who plays the flute. He's going to do our next soiree. And I said, oh, okay. And Mike Ford said he's pretty good, and Julia Berger said, no, he's really good. But we hadn't heard of you yet, you know. So I went and hosted this thing, not knowing what to expect. And you brought your band, and you played, I think, just about everything off color that evening.
Yeah.
These soirees were always held on a Sunday evening to get people away from Carte Blanche and the Sunday night movie on Mnet.
Yeah.
And you blew us away. You really, really did. And it's been a privilege to know you since. Do you have many memories of that evening at all?
Yeah, I remember that. Those soirees were very special. And I wish we could have more of those, you know, because it was just a beautiful moment. And it was kind of classical, crossover-ish.
Yeah.
Music, and I just loved it. It was really nice, and that was the start of my live show, which I've now taken all over the world, even to Carnegie Hall.
Okay.
And that brings back a lot of good memories, and I'm still playing some of those songs in my shows today.
I'm really glad, because it was a brilliant album. I mean, your albums are brilliant.
Yeah.
But that one set the benchmark, if you
Yeah, like. That's actually, that first one was, if I listen back to it today, it really stands the test of time, and it's still one of my favorite albums. But I spent, you know, you spend a lifetime on your first album, because you know, it's your whole life of work up to that stage. And I spent a long time recording that album as well, worked with Moritz Lotz and Vernie Schultz, and I remember the one day we were mixing, and this is before Husky got involved, and we're sitting there, and I'm sitting there with Moritz and Vernie, and I say to them, I think the flute can be a little bit, we can move it a little bit left of the middle in this place. And I don't get an answer, and I look around behind me, and they're both sleeping in their chairs. I'd driven them to sleep.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. That's the perfectionist in you, you see.
Yeah.
That's what it's all
non-stop,
about.
Non-stop.
What is your second piece of music?
The next one is Oliver Mtukudzi's Todi. And I heard this song first in Tanzania. We went to walk up Kilimanjaro, and after we'd come down, we went to a pub, a little rural pub somewhere, and this song was playing, and it struck me. It was just so incredible, and Oliver Mtukudzi has since been one of my favorites.
What shall we do?
Tingadi.
Sinzinja.
What shall we do?
What shall we do?
Olivem Tukudzi and Todi here on Fine Music Radio with Vota Kellerman as my person of note today. Let's talk, if we may, a little about the Vota Kellerman lifestyle. Okay. First of all, you work late, so you rise late.
Yeah.
Okay. We can get to that. The green tea? Is that the first thing of the day?
Yeah. Yeah, I love the green tea. I probably have about 15 cups a day. And it's just, it's more the process of making the tea, you know.
Than the drinking of it.
Yeah, it's more the process of taking a break, you know, putting the kettle on, hanging around a bit, saying hi to whoever's around, and making the tea, just stepping outside into the sun and just having a peaceful moment, you know, and it's just so special.
The brain fog that the psychologists are telling us about so much that's happening at the moment, yeah. It is so important to take that break away from the computer screen, outdoors, sunshine, fresh air.
Yeah.
So important. What about exercise for you?
Yeah, I exercise regularly because I have to cross train for the flute. You know, if you spend hours a day in the same position playing the flute, it's a formula for injury.
Okay.
So you have to cross train. So I do quite a bit of yoga, stretching the body and strengthening it in all different directions. Also, I used to be a table tennis champion.
Really?
Yeah, I was a UJ's number one table tennis player. I come from a table tennis playing family. So I used to play top league table tennis. I play some tennis. I love dancing. and I love going for hiking or for a walk, and so I try and keep active. But sometimes very challenging if you travel a lot, because often I'll be traveling more than 6 months of the year, and it's jet lag and in hotel rooms.
And how do you cope with that?
It's very difficult. I have actually consciously decided to start slowing down, but it hasn't happened yet. I'm patiently waiting for that. But yeah, it's stressful on the body, so I definitely need to slow down a bit, and I'm definitely doing that at the, you know, consciously. I'm saying no to more things now these days. So unless I really love to do it, I'm not going to do it. You know, after COVID, for example, COVID, we took a big knock. And after COVID, I had to do everything that comes my way after COVID.
Sure.
I had to take up every opportunity, however inconvenient, whether it's on the other side of the world or not, you know, and I just traveled like crazy. And fortunately, have recovered. So now I think I'm luckily in the position to be saying no to some, you know, if someone wants me to do one concert on the other side of the world and it just doesn't work, then I say no. Yeah, I do say no now.
What's your next piece of music?
The next piece is Jacqueline Dupré. She's probably my most favorite musician of all time.
Really?
The cellist, yeah.
Yeah.
So I just love the way she plays the cello. And I grew up with this music. And the reason I did this latest Grammy-winning album, one of the reasons is I'm working with Eru Matsumoto, who's the cellist that I feel channels Jacqueline Dupré. So she plays in a very similar style, very passionate playing. And I love this Haydn. You know, Jacqueline Dupré makes Haydn sound like nobody else. So this concerto, Haydn Concerto in C, is just one of my favorite pieces.
Thank you.
Jacqueline Dupré, Wouter Kellerman's favourite musician, let alone cellist.
Yeah.
Although you've got to be careful how you say that because of Eru Matsumoto.
Now, Eru is very happy just to be compared with Jacqueline.
She's
also a huge fan. And, Jacqueline just had this very unlimited way of playing, play with abandon.
Yeah.
Which is, you don't actually find a lot in classical music. People are often slightly contained in the way they play. So I just loved her spirit. And the way she approached playing.
And she was taken from us far too young, sadly.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of musicians and the like, let's talk about how your work process actually happens, because I'm wondering where you start with a piece. Do you come up with a little tune, or does one of your collaborators from possibly across the world send you a sound file with a little riff on it or something. How does it work for you?
Yeah, actually it started with myself and Paul Wellock. He's
the guitarist.
The guitarist, yeah, and he is also my yoga teacher. So when we started at that stage, this is in 2005, 2006 actually, then he'd only played classical music before, and I'd only played classical music before. Neither of us had ever improvised. And so we thought, let's try write something new and create something new. So we would spend 3 times a week, we'd meet for yoga, and then we'd play music afterwards. And we were both so terrible that we were not embarrassed in each other's company. So, you know, I would play something terrible, and he would play something even more terrible. And we'd just try stuff. You try anything, and then at some stage, we just hit a lucky spot, and we'll find something that sounds pretty nice. And then we'll go, okay, this is great. Let's keep this idea, and we'll record it. We'll just put it down as a memory, and we'll carry on. And then slowly over time, these little jewels that we found, we could put them together and create a piece.
Right.
And that's been kind of, when I'm working with someone live, that's how I've been working. And there's no mystery. It's just like trial and error. You just try anything you like until you find something. So it's kind of a brainstorming, a musical brainstorming session. But now these days, a lot of the work happens over the airwaves. So a lot of the collaborations. But for example, in this last album,
Triveni,
I went over to Amsterdam and worked with Wessel van Rensburg, the pianist.
The wonderful, yeah. Wessel van Rensburg. Yeah.
And I stayed over at his place, and every morning we would just sit and create some new music. And those ideas formed the start of Triveni. And then I sent those basic ideas to Eru, mm-hmm, and Chandrika Tandon, the Indian singer. And they would add some of their own ideas, send it back. And we did a little bit of to and fro like that. And eventually, all of us, myself, Wessel, Moritz, Lotz, mm-hmm, we met in New York. And we had some workshops there, and we started recording. And then we went all our own separate ways and carried on our separate recordings, and a lot of to and fro. And it became a very, very long process.
So how long did it take to put that album together?
Well, from the first day where I started was maybe 2.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so it can be a very long process.
It was. That's when the seeds were sown, but majority of the work was done probably in about 1 year. We met May last year in New York. And then from May till August, I worked every day, 8-hour days at least, in the studio on the album. It just takes a long time. People listen to the music and say, oh, that's nice. But they don't see all the dead ends and the songs that you abandoned and all the different ideas that you tried. And so what you hear is the final version, which has been through a whole lot of work.
But now, by the same token, you have collaborated with wonderful choirs, Ndlovu Youth Choir, yeah, the Mzansi Youth Choir, yeah, Soweto Gospel Choir. Are those collaborations a little faster because you already know which song you're going to do?
Yeah.
Maybe?
But it also took a long time. You know, the Mzansi, for example, we did a version of Calm Down, mm-hmm, which is the famous song by Rema. But we wanted to do a calm version of Calm Down, a peaceful version. And we created a whole middle section. I worked with J.B. Arthur, the very amazing producer. And just took us a long time to find the sweet spot. The same with Triveni. You know, it's a South African flutist, Indian singer, and Japanese cellist. And it was actually really hard to find the place where we would meet, because we'd often find two of us would like an idea and the third one would not like it. And we scrambled. We spent quite a bit of time to eventually find the sweet spot where we could meet.
So that's what the problem is with creating music, is finding the sweet spot.
Yeah, because often, for example, if I do a flamenco song or if I do an Indian piece, I don't try to be authentically Indian, because that's not me. So I would meet them halfway, you know. But to find that halfway spot is often really hard. And to find the spot where you both like something, because maybe I like it, but it doesn't. We've had a few cases like I like some of the music, but, you know, Chandrika says, well, it doesn't really quite fit the raga. Then she sings, and then I said, well, it doesn't quite fit the chord sequence. Okay. You know, to and fro until we find, you know, something that works for all of us.
Now people maybe have a better idea of, as you say, you hear the song, you go, oh, that's lovely, but you have no idea of the hours of work behind it. And Think about that with your great composers as well, because they were thinking hard about what they had to create, but we hear the end result.
Yeah.
What's your next choice?
The next is, you know, I love Norah Jones, but I also love Ray Charles, and they did a song together which was part of this album, Genius Loves Company. I think it was Ray Charles's last album.
It was.
And the first track is just this exquisite moment, you know, where the old meets the new, but they've still got that passion and the spirit in the song, and there's a beautiful organ solo in there that you have to listen out for. It's called Here We Go Again.
Oh,
Fine Music Radio with Nora Jones and the great Ray Charles, as chosen by my guest on People of Note today, namely Vota Kellerman. Let's talk a little bit about Grammys, because you've won three. You've been nominated for five, won three. Congratulations from all of us. We're so proud
Thank
of you.
Thank you. Yeah.
But now you don't just get a Grammy. It's not as though there's some committee out there just sort of summer listening. There's a process of how you have to get to be noticed enough.
Yeah.
Tell us about how you got in the first place.
Yeah, the Grammy process is quite interesting. There are 13,000 voting members. These are all creatives. They're mostly musicians, but some engineers and producers, and they are mostly in the US, but all over the world. So 13,000 voting members, and every year there's more than 20,000 entries. So these 13,000 people vote in all the different categories. So you voted by your peers. It's not the public. It's not a popularity contest. It's voted by other musicians. Mm. So that makes it even more special because it's an educated vote. And but the problem is, for example, my first album, I thought, actually matches up to all the other albums.
Within the category.
Yeah. So my first album ever we put up for a Grammy and nothing happened. And what we realized is like people are not going to listen through 20,000 entries to find your jewel.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. They won't even know about it, you know. So partly is there's two legs that a Grammy process stands on, you know, to win a Grammy. The one is obviously you have to make beautiful music that other musicians would enjoy and appreciate. But the second part of it that's also important is that they have to know about your music.
You've got to promote it.
Yeah, if they don't know about the music, they won't vote for it. So that's why from the early days we decided to export the music and we went to tour the US and made sure that we invite other musicians and engineers and producers to our shows. So my music became better known over there. And it's only once we started doing that we broke through. So unfortunately, not enough just to enter it.
Yeah. So there's a lot of work, actually. It's backbreaking work is getting your work known.
That's right. And, you know, you kind of owe it to the music. Once you've created beautiful music, you have to make sure it gets heard. It's very sad if you created this incredible music and nobody ever hears it. So I think the promotional part and the business part of music is really an essential part. You know, you really have to push your music. And a lot of our musicians are not that comfortable with that, you know, but it's unfortunately not optional. If you want to do well, you have to take care of the 360 degrees of the music business. You know, you have to do the social media, you have to promote, you have to book shows, you know, you have to make sure when you perform live that you sound good, you know, take responsibility for the engineering of your albums, take responsibility of the sound when you perform. Is the sound engineer good? Is the equipment good? You know,
all like, of these are really important.
I often take, when I go to a show, I take my own equipment just in case.
Right.
Their equipment's not good enough. And my band and I can set up our own equipment in a half an hour. So we've had to do that sometimes when we used to play more smaller gigs. We just have my own equipment in the boot of the car.
Sure.
And we take that with in case, because it sometimes happens that you arrive at a live performance and the sound is just not good. And the people are not going to say, oh, the sound's not good. They're going to listen to you and say, well, the musician is not doing well, you know.
Yeah. So the business has changed. I think even since you've been a part of it, since 2006, 2007. So there was a time when you made your money off album sales and you toured to support your latest album just to promote it. But as Taylor Swift and Elton John have now reminded us, the money is off the touring now and you make an album to support the tour.
Totally, 100%.
So it's flipped.
Yeah, exactly. The money comes in. You don't really make much. I don't anyway make much. I'm sure Taylor Swift and Elton John make a lot of money from streaming, but most of the musicians don't make their money from streaming.
So just to clarify a point, is the revenue from streaming much less now than it used to be from sales of physical
albums? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely much less. So my model at the moment is we make the money from the live performances, and especially corporate functions, because you get paid well for those. And some government functions, sometimes the government gets me to present, to perform at some big conference.
For politicians.
Yeah.
Because the money is good.
Yeah. And for example, one beautiful, beautiful performance that I was booked for was for 9 people. A small performance for 9 people. 1 table, 9 people. And in this room was the President of China, the Prime Minister of India, President of Brazil, and Cyril Ramaphosa, and their foreign ministers.
There were 9 guys.
9 people in this room. So,
But that's where you can make your dosh.
Yeah, so that's, all corporate functions. I just went to Dubai to do the opening of Investec branch over there, for example. So those, or last year, I went over to Dubai and Alpen Bank. Every year I have something they call the Global Fusion Festival, and they asked me to put together a show where I bring musicians from all over the world and we perform there. So, these kind of corporate, it's funded by business. And so that's kind of how my model works. And so you put the music out there to be known, and then you get booked for these shows. And that's what keeps the wheel turning.
Wow. What's your last piece of music for today?
We have Ishmael Low, Tajabone, and I just love this. So peaceful. It's such a beautiful mixture of African and, say Senegalese, and they have that French influence as well. So they've got the French finesse and the African spirit, and it's a beautiful combination of both.
Thank you. si saro
wale
monila
wale
degam julinga
wale
monila
wale
degam worga
wale
Ishmael Lowe and Tajabone here on Fine Music Radio. Vota Kellerman, my special guest on People of Note. I know you're a busy man and you've got things to do, places to go, people to see. Two last quick questions on People of Note today. First of all, if it's confidential, fine, I understand, but what is next? Do you have anything up your sleeve?
Yeah, we've got, you know, I don't have energy to do a whole new album this year. The last one really took it out of me. But I've got some really exciting song collaborations.
Would these be singles?
Singles, yeah.
Okay.
So these will be roots music or African music, maybe. The one song is a collaboration with Rocky Dawuni, the Ghanaian-nominated singer. Grammy-nominated singer. But we're still working on it, and we'll probably have a very exciting third collaborator on there, but that I can't really say. And then I'm also working on a song with Lyra.
The wonderful Lyra.
Yeah. So,
who's a good friend of yours, right?
Yes, yeah. She's a fantastic friend. So, but we're just starting those out now. Let's see how they turn out. So this year is more some single collaborations.
Okay, we'll look forward to those as they are released. You will, of course, keep us in touch with that.
Of course.
And then finally, when will we see you performing live with some concerts in Cape Town?
Well, I would love to. I love Cape Town, and I would love to come here, but I obviously would, and I would come down at the drop of a hat. I just need someone to book me.
Right, we need to find someone to drop a hat.
Yeah, but I'm working on it. It's been a very busy time, so I haven't really had time, but I would love to make time to come to Cape Town and do some live performing down here. Cape Town is one of my favorite places in the world. So definitely would love to come here.
Okay, we can't wait. So please jump on it, drop that hat as soon as possible. Vota Kellerman, a truly worthy person of note. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike. So easy to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
FMR.